Hey, it's good to be in church. If you're new here, my name's Evan, and I'm just glad you're here. I'm the lead pastor here, and we've already had such a fun time today. This morning already, our first service was live streamed in Port Alberni, and so we've had Port Alberni in the room with us, and we've had a first service here. And as well, Kendall just said on the announcements there, she said, hey, if it's cold and flu season, if you're sick and you're at home, you know, you could still tune in. I've had a couple texts already after the first service saying, I'm homesick, great service, love being there with you guys, blah, blah, blah. It's just awesome. I love that we can be connected wherever we're at. Anyone tuning in online right now, welcome here. We're glad that you're with us, and it's just good. Isn't it good to be in 2020? I don't know about you, but I feel like 2020 has like, I wasn't awake at midnight. Was anyone else awake at midnight? I got to tell you, a few days before New Year's, I all of a sudden got sick, and still battling that one off. Bear with me as the day goes on, but our New Year's Eve was Kendall folding laundry and watching movies, and me like laying on the couch like this, just like trying to push through. About 11 o'clock, I'm like, Kendall, I can't do it. This is not worth it. I'm going to bed. And I hit the hay, and does anyone else feel like they're sort of stumbling into 2020? Anyone? Feeling like that flu bug or whatever is just around. You're feeling like you're barely limping in, and here we go. But God is good, isn't he? God wants to do something special this year, and I really believe that God wants to move in new and exciting ways, and I can say that every year and believe it every year, because God is never done with us. We're not in heaven yet, amen? We're not there, we're here, and so God, what do you have for me here now? What do you have for us in this time? What's Northgate supposed to get up to? What are we as individuals within this church supposed to get up to? I believe anyone in this room, just so you know, I will always believe every single person in this room has a next step to take in their faith. And some of you, your next step is your first step. It's a step into believing in Jesus and jumping on this wild ride of faith and believing for him to lead you wherever you're meant to go. Some of you, it's a step out of just complacency that's maybe developed over time as you've been a Christian a long time and have started relying on some of your spiritual practices rather than the one who you're practicing for, you know, the one who you're supposed to be walking with. Some of you, it's maybe you're fresh in faith and you're all of a sudden going to take on new roles, and who knows what it's going to look like, but all of you have a next step in faith. And I hope you're thinking about that. In fact, I hope that that's a high priority. When you come to church, I want to make sure that that's a high priority for you, because you're going to have business coaches that will tell you that the highest priority is figuring out your next step as a company. Your family is going to try to figure out your next step as a family, and maybe you're building family, and praise God, it's amazing. You know, you're going to be thinking about your next steps for your finances and for whatever, your social groups or whatever, whatever steps you have. But I hope that you know, whatever stage of life you're at, whatever stage of faith you're at, God has a next step for you this year. And he wants to lead you deeper. He wants to take you further. He wants to grow you more. And he's got something special for you. So as your pastor, I want you to catch a hold of that. Because if this church all was full of people who caught a hold of the reality that God is not asking less of me, but he's actually calling me to more. Oh man, what could we do as a church? What could be accomplished through this church this year? Amen? Come on, could be awesome. So we're starting off with this series called Fresh Look at Faith. And basically we're basically just taking a fresh look at some of the regular spiritual disciplines that we try to balance, that we try to walk out in our lives. We're going to be looking at things like Bible reading and prayer and a bunch of different things, and just trying to have a quick spin at those and say, God, do you want to show us how those are supposed to fit in our lives in a new way? Do you want to teach us something new about those things? Maybe give us some new perspective. Give us some new excitement about some of those things. Because for me anyways, maybe for you too, often at the beginning of the year I'm saying, Lord, I set up a Bible reading plan, you know. I maybe commit to a certain small group, or I commit to a certain program, or I commit to a certain thing. And away I go. I'm going to now launch into this thing. Often at the beginning of the year we do that. And if you've ever done that before, You also know what it is, probably, to fail in that before January's out. Maybe not. You know, which we often try to start something and try to build a reading plan. We try to get something going, and then we're like, but as we start moving, we're like, oh man, this isn't giving me the life I thought it would, or getting up early isn't as fun as I thought. Just so you know, I told our team this morning while we rallied before the service, I said, just so you know, coming out at 6:30 in the morning to pray will never, it's a very rare person who gets pumped on that. It's not like you're like, oh, I don't really get excited, so I'm not going to come. It's like, no one gets excited. Now, we get excited about what could happen because of it. We get excited about what God might get up to, what he might do. But no one's like, yeah, sweet, 6:30, show up, which means like I'm up at 5:30. And it's like every day, and we come in, and we're like tired and haggard. And we're like, let's pray, it's awesome. No one is ever like, this is just awesome to be here. But by the end, we're like, isn't it good to know what God is building, what God is doing and accomplishing in us? And so lots of, like, Bible reading plans can feel the same as that. You can feel like you're just opening your Bible and like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know if this is doing what it's supposed to. And like, we put things away and we give up on certain spiritual disciplines because we're wondering if they're accomplishing anything. I don't know if I'm feeling any closer to God. I don't know if I'm feeling any more. I don't know if I'm feeling more Christian because I'm reading the Bible or because I'm praying or because I'm doing these things. And so, should I even keep doing these things? Or sometimes we decide what's the most spiritual discipline, and we just do that one instead. In fact, I read a book a while ago called Streams of Living Water. And it was basically talking about how throughout sort of the history after Jesus, churches and church movements have tried to figure out how to do discipline, spiritual formation, discipleship in a way that they would grow to become more and more like Jesus. And most of them picked a specific discipline and built everything around that, or a specific priority and built everything around that. There were those who built around the prayer-centered life. You know, what's most important, the most important thing if we want to live like Jesus is that we pray. And we're just going to pray, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and there'll be people in this church who would feel that way, and like, that's the most important thing. If we're not praying, we're not Christian. If we are praying, we are Christian. End of discussion, that is it. Yeah, there's some other things, but that's the most important. And there were full traditions built around kind of that idea, full traditions built on the priority of the virtuous life. Well, the most important thing is that we do good things, is that we behave well, is that our mouths don't speak negatively, is that we walk in purity, is that we do all those, as long as we do those virtuous things, then we're good. Or there's been traditions or whole movements that have believed that it's all about the Spirit-empowered life. As long as we're experiencing the Holy Spirit, and a fresh move of the Holy Spirit and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, as long as that's happening, everything else can take a back burner and backseat. As long as we're seeing that, then we're doing good. Some, it's around a word-centered life. Whole traditions built around the idea that read the Bible, know the Bible, memorize the Bible, preach the Bible. As long as you do that, you are good. You're done. That's it. Know the Bible, read the Bible. That's it. As long as we're there, nothing else matters. Or some built around compassion. As long as you're caring for the needs of the sick and the orphan and the homeless, as long as you're doing that, then nothing else matters. All that matters is that you do that. We look at those and go, wait, what is the most important? What is the one that's going to cause us to live the life that we're supposed to live? What is the one that's going to cause us to grow in our faith with Jesus more than any of the other ones? What is the most important one? I think it's a little bit like asking, what's the most, when you set up your New Year's gym resolutions this year, what's the most important muscle to work out? Like, left bicep. This one's going to be massive this year. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be awesome. Shoulder, nah. Forearm, nah. Tricep, mm-mm. But that bicep, look out. You know, it's a little bit like that. Like we know that that's not a beneficial way of looking at the gym. You want to work out your whole body, and maybe you did go to the gym at first, and you did work out your whole body, and it was feeling good. But then you caught yourself in the mirror at one point, and that left bicep sort of shot you a little smile, and you're like, whoa, kind of like what you're doing there in the mirror. I think I better try that one a few more times. And that's sometimes how that goes on. And that's probably how things work. People started with a certain spiritual discipline or sort of doing them all. And then something happened when they were reading the Bible, or something happened when they were praying, or something happened when they were having a Holy Spirit moment, or something happened when they were serving the needs of the homeless or the needy, whatever it was. And all of a sudden they said, well, this must be where Jesus lives, in this particular practice. It'd be a little bit like, I like watching, I know there's some really important, thanks for being here today, by the way, because there's some really important hockey going on, but I'm a bit of a basketball guy. I like watching basketball, and one of the things that happens every year is that they do this dunk competition. And the dunk competition is supposed to be for the best dunkers in all the world, and it's all the NBA players. But anyone who knows YouTube knows that the best dunkers are not in the NBA. Best dunkers are these guys who randomly are in high school gyms and usually are like 6 foot rather than 7 foot, and they're doing these massive, crazy dunks, and they're getting creative, and they're always just trying new things, and they go to the gym to dunk. And you look, often when I was a kid, I would know that, and I loved watching the NBA, but I knew that there were these dunkers, and I was like, well, which one's better at basketball? It's like, well, obviously the NBA player is better at basketball. And I always thought, well, if the dunker wanted to play in the NBA, they could. But no, they couldn't, because what they've decided is that they're going to be dunkers. They're not going to be basketball players. They're just going to be dunkers. They might be okay at basketball, but they've chosen a specific discipline, and that specific discipline, they're better than anyone else at that specific discipline, but it means they can't be broad enough to play in the NBA. Or an NBA player has to pass, shoot, dribble, dunk probably, know how to play some defense, like know how to do all of those things. And I think sometimes when we get into our Christian life, we're sort of looking for the magic ticket to spiritual intimacy with Jesus. We're looking for that magic moment. Maybe we're not even looking for spiritual intimacy. Maybe we're just looking for acceptance from Jesus. Well, which one gets me into heaven? Okay, if I read my Bible, am I in heaven? Good, I'm done. And that's awesome. And we just pick a specific discipline or practice and go, that must be what is most important. And if I do that, I will be good. So for the next few weeks, we are going to be looking at a number of different spiritual practices, number of different things that will help shape your spiritual formation journey this year, but we're not looking at any of them as if they should stand alone. Because when they stand alone, they don't turn into good things in your life. You know what it's like to be around people who are just running in one stream and not another. In that book that I talked about, it was the picture of all the streams coming together and creating this mighty river of faith. That as you have Bible, as you have prayer, as you have compassion, as you all of these things coming together, boom, you get this mighty river of faith. You know what it's like to be around someone who has left compassion, who doesn't know how to do that, who doesn't know how to do this thing, but knows the Bible and knows how to tell you how wrong you are. This is what the problem is with something that's so good and yet separated from other things that are meant to be balancing it out. And so we want to, for the next few weeks, talk about the idea that God does want to shape your heart. He does want to shape your life. And there are some tools that are supposed to shape your life. There are some spiritual practices that are supposed to shape you, but they're not supposed to be the goal. Bible reading is not your goal this year. Well, maybe it is, but I want to encourage you to a different goal. You know, prayer is not your goal. I just want to pray more. I'm going to take care of more people. I'm going to look after the sick. That's it. Time for me to take care of my mouth. I'm not going to gossip anymore. I'm not going to say those things about those people. I'm not going to use that kind of language anymore. That's what I'm going to do this year, and I'm going to walk that one out, and that's who I'm going to be. Man, I don't want that to be your goal this year, because spiritual formation is not about us being good at Bible reading or good at prayer or good at caring for people. It's about us discovering intimacy with Jesus. It's about us discovering who he is and how to walk with him. See, when Jesus invited people to come and grow with him, he didn't say, come with me and I'll give you all of these like Bible resources, and if you study well, you can be with me. He just said, come with me, because if you're with me, you'll become like me. If you spend time with me and are open to what I have to say to you, I will shape your heart. I will shape your life. I will change who you are. I will shape your understanding. I will call you into places that are scary for you. I will ask you to press on in things that are overwhelming for you. And so this is how Jesus actually invited his disciples. In Matthew 4:19, when he went to see Peter, he said this, come, follow me. That was it. He said, and I will send you out to fish for people, which if you're new to church, that sounds completely weird. Come follow me. That was it. Well, if we're thinking about spiritual formation, if we're thinking about growing in our spiritual depth, if we're thinking about growing in our spiritual development and our intimacy with Jesus this year, wouldn't it make sense to learn discipleship and devotion from the one? Like, what did Jesus say is the most important? Is it Bible? Is it prayer? Is it compassion? Is it miracles? Is it what is it? And he said, no, it's being with me. And when you're with me, all of those things are going to become part of your life. But it follows a different pattern, that all of a sudden you want those things rather than you just do them to try to get to me. That when you come to me, I'm going to call you to all those things. And so our spiritual formation, our spiritual practices become both the way that we start to have spiritual intimacy with Jesus and the way that we are inspired to, and having that intimacy inspires us back to our spiritual formation. And so my heart is that you would just discover Jesus. You discover his closeness and his love for you. That he cares about you, that he wants to take you places. Here's what Jesus then said to Matthew or Levi, Mark 2:14. As they were walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And this is all he said. He just said, follow me. He said, follow me. That was it. Just follow me. And Matthew looks around, he goes, yes, I will. And he just does. Peter, the same way, he just puts down his net. He puts down his livelihood and just goes, I will come with you, God. And Matthew, he's sitting at his business. This is his business and his identity and his everything. His positives and negatives have come from this space. And he just steps away from it, says, I will follow you. I will walk with you. I will go where you go. And so the following me always was them laying something down. And the idea that they would decrease. This is how John the Baptist says it. I must decrease so he will increase. So they all just decrease so that he would increase. The spiritual formation is our way of answering that call, because Jesus still does that same call. He says, follow me. Like, well, how? You're not physically here with me. You're not in flesh anymore. Like, I'm not a fisherman. Like, how do I follow you? I don't have nets to put down. So some of you are fishermen. Is George here? I don't know. Anyways, some of you put we don't have nets to put down and follow him, and so what do we do? And this is what we do. Because this accomplishes, spiritual formation accomplishes the same things in us that laying down our nets does. It causes us to decrease. What does Bible reading cost you more than anything else? Time. Well, if I'm going to read, I'm going to read some books about leadership development, because that could probably get me a little bit further in life, probably make a bigger impact on this world. Jesus isn't looking for you to make a big impact on this world. He'll make the big impact through you much better than you could make the impact through yourself. And so Jesus isn't saying, hey, make sure you give your time to something that's going to impact the world. He's saying, make sure first you give your time to me who will impact this world. And so what does it cost us right away to read the Bible? It costs us giving up time. I don't know if I'm ready to give up time. Oh, it's hard. It's nets. It's just like putting down the nets. Like, how do we follow Jesus in this time when he's not flesh right in front of us? How we follow him is through spiritual formation, spiritual discipline, spiritual practices. And all of a sudden, we enter into a following relationship with him. Prayer. What does it cost you? It costs you time. Well, why would I just pray? I could be listening to podcasts right now, you know, or sleeping or doing something different. Why would I come and pray at 6:30 in the morning, 5 days a week? Well, that doesn't even make sense. Why would I do that? Because there's something right away about walking with Jesus that requires us decreasing, us putting down what's most important to us. Us allowing the things that consume us most to become less so that He can consume us more and become greater in our lives. And we're meant to do that. Sometimes we start to celebrate the thing, like, why would I give this thing to someone, you know, why would I give a sub to someone on the street? It's not really going to make an impact on them. It's not really going to matter to them. It's not really, are they really going to, I mean, I don't even know if they care. I don't even know if they're going to come to Jesus. I don't even know if, like, what's it going to matter? No, Jesus isn't saying, hey, this person needs to be cared for. Jesus can care for that person. What He's saying to you is you need to stop only serving yourself and thinking about how you serve others, how you care for others. Because then all of a sudden you enter into a following relationship with Jesus. One that when we're beside Him, we know Him. When we're with Him, we can start to hear Him. When we're walking along and doing the things that He has asked us to do, we will be with Him. And so we're not meant to excel in any of these above others. Sometimes we do that. Jesus would be like, hey, I'd like you to go and I'd like you to start watching your mouth. No more, when you're with that person, no more talking about that person ever. You're like, oh, how about I just read my Bible more? We do that. Let's keep that relationship going about the same way we will. I'll add a chapter a day, no problem. Mm-hmm. Which one? You know, we start to do that, don't we? Or he goes, I just want you to get up 15 minutes early every day and pray. I don't mind getting a coffee for someone on my way to work. No problem. Sounds good. No worries. I'm being very compassionate. Look how much I care. See, Jesus, awesome. He's not looking for you to be awesome at spiritual disciplines. He's looking to walk with you. And walking with you means growing in all of these, in a diversity of areas, in everything. And so we don't let any of them go. We let all of them take place. He knows that when you walk with me, you'll just learn what I do. And you'll do what I do. The disciples, they always asked Jesus, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And Jesus didn't really tell them. He just kept doing it, and all of a sudden, they're doing it. In fact, sometimes they asked him like things like how to pray. Hey, how do we pray? What do you do? What should we do in this situation? What should that look like? And Jesus helped them along the way. All of a sudden, they were learning so that later on when Jesus left, they were teaching other people. In fact, we see that later on, this apostle named Paul, he's impacted drastically by Jesus, and then he just decides, well, I'm just going to figure out how in my life I can walk closely with Jesus. And so he just does that, and then when he's wanting to disciple people, he just says, I'm walking so closely with Jesus that all you need to do is just follow me, because all I'm doing is following Him. In other words, I haven't landed somewhere. There's nowhere that is this magic. Hey, once you do this, bing, 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 you're a Christian. Good job. It's actually, we just sort of follow along and away we go. And that will be what that's supposed to look like. And so Paul says to people in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. All I'm going to do is just try to see what Jesus is doing and do what He's doing. Thomas A. Kempis says this, we must imitate Christ's life and His ways if we are to be truly enlightened and set free from the darkness of our own hearts. Let it be the most important thing we do then to reflect on the life of Jesus Christ. You know, I if you're anything like me, you kind of wish you just got a set of rules. And most other religions would have that for you. They'd tell you, just do this, 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 and this. Then you'll be set. You'll be good. And if you can do that and other things, great. And actually, if you look in the Old Testament, it's a little bit more like that. There were these set of rules. And what happened is that everyone failed at those rules. And so then God's like, well, what should we do? And so he didn't send them a new set of rules, say, hey, these ones should work a little bit better for you. He instead sent them one who would show them how to live. Jesus, both, the story is amazing. He came to earth, which we celebrate at Christmas, and He died and rose again, which we celebrate at Easter, but He also lived. And the Gospels, the people who were closest to him, didn't spend the most time writing about his birth or the most time writing about his death. They spent the most time writing about his life. Because his life is worth us knowing about and learning from and trying to live like and growing alongside of and becoming like. And Jesus still invites us to follow in the same way. I've talked a fair amount in this church about this one guy who was huge impact for me when I was in grade 7. And he seemed to hit all of these marks for me. He was this big guy, and he's still doing ministry, and it just I just love watching his journey. But I can remember so many times him just showing me things. He had this rule in life. It was play hard, pray hard. That's a good rule, eh? Play hard, pray hard. And so he loved praying. He would do these 24-hour prayer times. If no one came, so what? He was doing it. And if everyone came, then let's do it. Like, whatever. He just didn't care. He was going to be praying and chasing after it. But prayer wasn't the most important thing for him. In fact, it was when I was in his leadership that I started gaining a passion for the Bible and wanting to learn the Bible. And he would always point us back and teach us, and like, did you know what said this? What has God taught you from the Word? He'd always ask me, what has God taught you from the Word? And so he also had this passion for the Bible, but it was also with him that I first started giving out food on the streets or in these low-income apartments. That was the first place that I started doing that. And so he had that thing also where he just loved doing that. It became something for him. But it was also with him that he called me out for the very first time ever to dance in church. How embarrassing. And so he had this like charismatic Holy Spirit kind of life about him as well. And so he had all of these things going. And for me, I just looked at him and said, whatever is going on there, I want to start doing it. And I didn't quite understand what was going on there until I started doing it and following him. And as I followed him, I started to discover that what was behind all of his practices were Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want, you can follow someone who knows the Bible through and through, and they can talk to you about the Bible forever and a day and tell you all about the little things. And at the end of the day, you might know more about the Bible. You might even appreciate the Bible, but you won't necessarily appreciate Jesus more. Spiritual disciplines aren't supposed to be like once you get this one, then you're good. They're all supposed to move us towards Jesus. And so we can't just do one. We have to pursue Jesus, and he will naturally draw us into learning about him through the Word, draw us into intimacy with him through prayer, draw us into empowerment for him through the Holy Spirit, draw us into compassion for others because his heart beats for others through serving the needs of the broken and the weary and the tired. He will do all that stuff, but all of a sudden we'll want it. I don't know if you've ever had a New Year's resolution about Bible reading that you just didn't want. Jesus wants to shape your heart and your life this year to a point that you would want to grow with him. Because it's not about how much Bible you know compared to the person down the road, or how holy of a life you're living compared to someone else, or how much you care for the needs of the sick or the weary compared to everyone else, or whatever it is. He would draw you into those because all of those are huge on the heart of Jesus, and as you draw near to them, you draw near to him. He wants to be discovered by you. Worship team, you can come on up. As we follow Jesus, we'll become more like Jesus. We might be able to say, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's all I can tell you. Just follow me, you'll discover Christ. Let's have a question for you. If someone were to follow you, where would they be going? Someone came to the end of where of you. He said, here's all of me, get to know me. And they followed your ways of life, they followed your mannerisms, they followed the words you said, they followed the practices that you do, they follow the things you do in public and the things in private, and they learned from you and they grew collectively, put all of you together. Where would they end up? That's my heart this year, is that God would do such a work in our lives through spiritual formation and through some changes in practice, but through a fresh look at those things, that we might discover that our lives actually start speaking of Jesus in more areas than just our 10 minutes in the morning or our hour 15 on a Sunday. That we might start to look like him in other areas. And people might start to say, can I come alongside you? Imagine having the confidence to know that if someone just spends time with me, they will know Jesus. What kind of confidence is that? They'll discover Jesus for sure. If they spend time with me, they will discover Jesus for sure. Paul had that kind of confidence. And all of Jesus' disciples were treated that way. People would come to them, learn from them, discover who is Jesus. Let's, his disciples, let's follow them, see what they're about. What are they doing? This must be who Jesus is. And they were discovering all sorts of things that way. But also I think it's important to ask, maybe some people in the room, you didn't know that Jesus actually so freely offers for you to come and follow him. And you think, well, I don't know if I can because I don't know the Bible that well. That was never something that Jesus said. It might have been something that he wanted. It wasn't something that he said. When it was Peter, when it was Matthew, when it was these other people that he called into his, he never said, okay, so you know enough Bible, you can come with me. And okay, you pray regularly. Are you at 25 or half hour? Half hour, you're in. Have you taken care of anyone who's hurting in the last 12 minutes? No, you're out. Like, he didn't do that. He said, follow me. Because I don't expect you to become something that I want you to be outside of me. I want you to just become that with me. So come inside of my arms. Come under my wing. Come and be part of my flock. And as you do, grow with me. So for the next few weeks, we're going to discover together what growing in spiritual formation will look like through shifting and shaping our spiritual disciplines and discovering which ones are great for us, which ones are challenging for us, and how to walk in all of them. But all of that with the sense that we want to do that knowing Jesus loves us and has called us to follow him first. So today, if you didn't know that, you need to know that. Maybe you could bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a second. Maybe 2020, you're saying, I actually think I'd like to follow Jesus. Something is coming up in me right now, and there's this grace that starts to fall in a time like this, a grace that starts to show up in our lives. It says, hey, I'll just speak to you, and I'll lead you, and I'll make myself real to you, and I will call to you as clearly as I called to Peter and to Matthew and to all the disciples. Come with me, follow me, walk alongside with me, grow with me, become who you're going to become because you're with me. And today, God's not saying, as long as you, or if you do this, or he's just saying, will you start walking with me? Would 2020 be a year where you would say, I want to walk in the direction that Jesus is walking. I want to do the things that Jesus is doing. I want to discover the things that Jesus wants me to discover and experience his fullness this year, and that he might rework my passions for life, for my passions for things, that I would want to respond to his grace and his love in new ways. If today you say, I just want to give that a go. I want to follow Jesus. 2020 is going to be a year where I follow Jesus. I listen to him, and I try to do what he's asking me to. I learn from his example. If 2020 is a time for you to follow him, do you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? So I pray for you if you say, I need to follow him this year. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lots of hands. People are saying, yeah, of course, that's me. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah, that's me. I want to. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you all in the front row there. That's me. I just want to follow. I just want to follow him this year. Jesus, thank you that you are not a static God. There's not some achievement that that once we've done this, then we're good. Spiritual disciplines are not something that, well, we do those and then we're all set. Now we're good and religious. Spiritual disciplines are meant to open up our hearts. By laying some of ourselves down, open up our hearts to have you speak to us and fill us up and strengthen us and empower us in new ways. And so, Lord, I pray that this year you would remove from us any empty disciplines that we just sort of check the box, but instead we'd recognize the weight and the beauty of us reading the Bible and saying, this time is given up. I'm not going to give this time to me. I'm going to give this time to you, God. Do something with my heart in this time. Shape me, change me, so that I wouldn't go on with this day in the same way. Lord, rework us this year. That we would be a people who say yes to where you're going. Not yes to where you've been and yes to where now I am, but yes to where you're going, Jesus. That Christianity in this church would not be about a destination that we have landed on, but about a journey that you've called us on. You said, follow me. And the call to follow is still here. Help us follow Jesus. And as we do, would you just restore our hope in all these spiritual disciplines? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.